Good morning, church. Coming to you, it's already April the 19th, and we're missing you. Want you to know that we're really looking forward to being able to be back in service with you soon. We know that that day's coming. It's coming closer. It's getting closer now. We expect to start seeing things being released by our governor within the next few weeks. We had scheduled our next service for May the 3rd. We're not 100% sure that's going to be able to happen. We're going to pay a lot of attention to what the governor and what the president says to make sure that we're following the orders that are given to us. And we want to be safe. We want to have a meeting with the leadership team in the church. We're talking about meeting with the deacons and the security team to talk about how we are going to actually start services back up, because we are, and want everybody to understand, and want the church to understand, that we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you're safe. And we want to put protocols in place that will help us be able to do that. We can't fully separate everybody here, so we're going to have to look at what is we're allowed to do, but we are going to set up a certain area of the church where we can have some separation. We're going to make sure that we have things in place that will keep you as safe as possible. And we're really looking forward to being able to be back in church with you. We miss you. We miss church. We miss being able to see our friends and our family. And I want to say thank you this morning again to Brother Chris and Brother Rusty being up in the sound booth and getting us set up. We really appreciate it. It takes a lot for them to come out every Sunday morning and do this, and we thank you. And also, it's my understanding, I'll let Kendra announce this about Miss Darla this afternoon.
At 2 o'clock, there'll be a live stream. She's going to be doing this from her home, so it'll be from the safety of her home for everyone to be able to tune in, and she will be reaching out to the children. We're really missing our children. She's been very good to send out emails to everyone with projects and things that you can do and papers that have Bible stories and curriculum that goes along with it that we would be doing in Children's Church to keep your children busy at home still learning about the Lord. So today she'll do a live feed at 2 o'clock, and I really hope that you'll tune in and let your children hear her lesson live. And pray for her. She's a little nervous, but I think she'll do great with it. And I also want you, church, to know that I thank you for your prayers. We've sent out several call-in posts for prayer, and I want you to know that Jennifer Bruner's dad was able to come home, and he's a survivor of that COVID-19, and I praise the Lord for that. Also, I spoke with Lisa Butts. Her dad was able to come home. That's a blessing of the Lord. We've been praying for him all week. There are many people going through a lot of things. I'd love for you to remember Roy Barnes. He's at home, and he's not doing well, so please pray for him and Jimmy Lee, and I want you to pray for one another. Keep reaching out to each other. It's just wonderful when you can hear a voice on across the line, or even if you're FaceTiming so that they can see your face. It's wonderful to do your visits that way and still be able to fellowship with one another. Keep praying for one another and know that we love you and that we miss you. We'll be glad to have you all back in here with us, but we want you to be safe when we do. So y'all just pray for one another and continue to reach out, and we appreciate that, and we love you very much, and we miss you, and we are keeping you in our prayers daily.
I want to also say thank you to the church for your continued giving. I got an update this week from Miss Joyce that our offerings have been doing very well, very similar to what we would have if everyone was coming to church. So the church is doing fine. So we want to thank you for that. You know, our building fund continues to grow, and we're thankful for that as well. And God does have a plan for this church. And we believe that the things that we had in place and the things that we were working on, building a gym, expanding, you know, a parking lot, doing the work on the property, that God's still going to allow us to do that, but it's going to be all in God's perfect timing. I want to say thank you to Brother Tommy Graham this morning. He's still doing some work, and he's been doing some work on civil engineering and doing a parking lot layout. He sent me a picture of it, and I owe him a phone call, and I'll be giving you a call, Brother Tommy. But thank you very much for your work, and thank you, church, for reaching out to one another. You know, we have not been able to do the ministerial work that we'd like, because when you get a call someone's in a hospital, you can't go. When you get a call that there's a funeral, you can't go. But if we can help you in any way, please reach out to us. And I appreciate my wife. I've told people lately that she's been doing more work from home, doing ministry work, than I have because of the situation that things are in. She spends a lot of time doing that, and we appreciate her. Church, we're about to play a song, I Choose Christ by Karen Peck. It was a song I was thinking about this week, and everything's going to be all right. I want you to know that. And after they play this song, Brother Allen's going to come up and bring what God's laid on his heart. And if Miss Tracy wants to come up with him, she's welcome to do that. And then we'll try to bring the message that God has given us this morning. So, Brother Rusty, Brother Chris, if you would, go ahead and play the song. It's hard.
Hi, church. I just wanted to say, first, I am so much more comfortable in the choir and in the tower, but I wanted to take the opportunity to tell you guys that I miss you so much. I pray for you guys and thank you for your prayers, and I miss our kids. I miss seeing them every day, and I'm thinking about all you young people, and just I want you to stay in the Word and just stay focused, and we're going to pick back up in Sunday school and in youth as soon as possible. So I just wanted to say that we love you guys and that we are praying for you. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to the people who have tuned in. Good morning to our church members. Good morning to our youth. I'm thankful that you've tuned in this morning. And, you know, times are a little different now, and we all know that, but we're getting through it. And I believe truly in my heart that it's not going to be that much longer until we're able to be together again. We're going to be able to worship together again. We're going to be able to sing together again. I'm thankful for that. And when you look back at your life the way that it is right now, and you begin to examine the way things are right now, everything that we do is affected. Every part is affected. Every aspect of our life is affected, whether it be your school or your work or your relationships or how we treat one another. And I know that sometimes it seems heavy and it's difficult and you grow tired of it, to the point to where it feels like that life is kind of diminished a little bit. And today, before we really get into what we're going to talk about today, we're going to look back at our Bible and see some other people that experienced things that were similar to this. Because I believe in my heart, and I know a lot of you do, that the Bible has an answer for every possible problem that you can encounter in life. And I don't believe this is an exception. I believe we can find the answer here. But before we dig in today, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. If you would, and you can hear my voice this morning, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us, Lord, to worship the way that we are this morning. God, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we know that everything is different right now, but God, we know that things are going to go back to normal one day. But until that day, God, Lord, I pray, God, that you would remind us of your presence. Lord, that we'd be able to rejoice in you. And that, God, we would stay firm, Lord, and stay strong in you, Lord. And, Lord, I pray, God, as we try to walk step by step with you, Lord, that you would stay close. And that, God, that you would keep us and protect us from any virus or, Lord, any other thing that would come against us. And, Lord, if given the opportunity, God, I pray that you would help us spread the word and spread your name, Lord, as you'd have us do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this morning, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians this morning, just briefly, and we're going to look at what Paul, the way that he was talking to his people, or the people he was speaking to at the church at Corinth, while he was dealing with some negative issues in his own life and the people that were around him for just a little bit. But it's titled in our Bible, and we're going to start around the 8th verse. It's titled, Cast Down But Not Destroyed. But to put it in a little more modern term, it's called maybe Bent But Not Broken. A lot of us feel bent right now. A lot of you feel bent right now. I know a lot of our youth feel bent right now. A lot of phone calls wanting to know, when are we going to gather again? You know, when are we going to be able to go to Sunday school again? When are we going to be able to come to Wednesday night again? When are we going to be able to sing again? And you see that spiritually people are affected. But I want to remind you that we're still saved. God is still God. Jesus is still our Savior. And although we're in a hard time right now and bent, we are not broken. So let's look at that 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. And let's look at the 8th verse. We're going to read through the 18th. Paul's words. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body, for which we live are already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, praise God for that right here. You can look and find lots of problems. You can look and find lots of things that you don't like. But when we reflect on who Jesus is, there's so much that we should be able to have joy in. Now we look at that and you see Paul's writing, if you remember from the very beginning, he said from every side. I also mentioned that from every point, life is affected by this particular virus. And his situation was really hard to understand to him, but his hope didn't turn to sadness. Paul said it was tough on his body and his mind, but it wasn't destroyed. And I think what you can learn from this right here is we need to learn from the troubled times. See, Paul wrote to us in troubled times. But there's another person in the Bible that wrote to us in troubled times, and that was David. If you look over at your 51st Psalm, we're going to read a moment from there, just a few. But David wrote this psalm, most likely after he had been visited by Nathan the prophet. You know, it's a different set of circumstances. But yet David was still troubled. See, he was troubled, but he needed his connection with the Lord to be renewed. So if you're looking at your 51st Psalm, in the 7th verse, it reads like this. This is David speaking to God. It said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. See, David was troubled, and his connection with the Lord was troubled as well, and he needed that connection to be renewed. See, it's times like these that David felt like he was cast down, but he wasn't destroyed. Who did he call on? He called on God. Most of you are just like me, that you are tired of not being able to go and do the things that life has normally allowed. You can't go eat like you used to. You can't go play. You can't go to work. We can't fellowship. We can't sing. We can't preach. We can't teach. We can't even learn like we used to exactly. But David was reminded even in those times, as he called out to God, that although his habits had put him in that spot, he was able to start over by asking God for help. See, God knows about the struggle. The question is, you ever wonder why that God allows it? Look back at that 10th verse. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What's God telling us right there? That when the times are tough, and some of the best learning that we'll ever experience. Because sometimes when the times are tough, we remember the times that were great. Do you remember the times in your life when everything was going exactly like you wanted to? I think back to a time when I was in my young 20s. My wife and I were married. We didn't have any children yet. And I was even skinny back then. That's changed a little bit. I had more hair. I didn't have the stresses and the struggles of life. And I thought to myself, how could it get any better? I was saved. I knew who God was. Do you remember when your prayer life was exactly like it ought to be, when it was great, and you prayed often, and you felt like you were truly directly in touch with God? How could it get any better? Do you remember when church was perfect? When you're able to come into the house of God and the Sunday school program was perfect and the children's group was perfect and the youth group was perfect and the congregation was right? Do you remember when you and all your friends were perfect? You were hanging out and there was no strife among you. And speaking to the youth, do you remember when your life was in order? See, God gives us those times so we can live in those moments and know that He is good. You know, we've talked about learning from the troubled times, and then now we've talked about the good times. The good times often give us the idea that we feel whole and complete. But you look at the troubled times, and oftentimes they make you feel broken and in need. Yet we have, or you will, experience both. So what's to learn? That we turn to the Lord in both of those times. Look at the book of Proverbs briefly. I believe it's our pastor's favorite verse. This is life verse, I believe. And the third chapter and the fifth verse, familiar scripture, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct those paths," or direct our paths. Let me tell you, right now, what we need is God to direct our paths. Because as we're in the troubled times, God remembers us in both situations, the good and the bad. The question is, are we remembering Him in both situations? Lots of people today are wandering around aimlessly, wondering what to do because this took them so far off guard. You know, remember God's character wherever you're at right now. When you read your Bible, what do we see? That He is our rescuer in all times. He knows our situation here in America. He knows about you and your situation in school. He knows about your job and He knows about your family. And right now, today, there's people that are listening to this program. They've got trouble with the virus, but there are equally or more people that have got trouble that is bigger than this virus. And it's still going on right now. Right now, there are people that are listening that are saying, "All I really need is a do-over. I need to be able to start fresh. I need to be able to start new." Because things have gotten beyond their control. Right now, there are people listening that are saying, "I can't even remember the good times because I'm overwhelmed by these times because they're heavy." You know, sometimes when we're on top of the mountain, we praise God for His goodness. But sometimes we're in the valley, we cry out for God's help. But whatever we do, don't stop crying out to God. There's never an acceptable time, good or bad, that we quit on our Lord. Usually life doesn't offer do-overs and start-overs. But when God offers one, we have to pay very close attention because He's speaking and giving in our lives. Right now, there are so many people that are going to be able to come out of this and what we call a do-over. Life's going to be different. But it's an opportunity to start over fresh and do what the Lord would have us do and go the way that the Lord would have us go. We all have a little more time right now to reflect. So let's use the time when it's available. God knows. God knows about you and I, and He doesn't want to see us fail. What He wants to see is for us to trust in Him more. Jeremiah 29, familiar scripture again, in the 11th verse through the 12th verse. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Remember the title. You may be bent, but we're not broken. You're not beyond repair. God is capable and willing to give the fresh start. There's been no better time in recent history than right now to start over fresh. Remember the scripture that we read earlier. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You direct your paths. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Brother Joe, would you come up?
Thank you, Brother Allen, and thank you, Miss Tracy. We appreciate you. Appreciate the work y'all do in our church and with our youth, and I'm looking forward to. I look over here to my left. Normally, it's full of young people, and they're not here this morning. They're at home. We miss them. Over here to my right, I look and I can see the faces of the people that would normally be there, and we miss you. Look around the church as we've already begun to think about how we're going to set up the sanctuary, making a few changes, and I can see your faces, but you're not here with us, but we know a lot of you are watching. And this morning, we've got a message we want to try to bring this on our heart, and the title of it is Some Things That Have Not Changed. You know, they say that we're going to have to do things different, that things are going to change in America, and some people say, well, it's always going to be different. Well, it's going to be different for a while, but we've been through things before. Country's been through things before, and some things are going to change. They say that the way we shake hands and the way that everybody's been used to shaking hands is going to have to change, and truly for a while, I would say that's true. Social distancing is something we're going to have to be aware of, and obviously if a person is not feeling well and sick, the advice is just to stay home and not jeopardize yourself or other people. How we congregate together in numbers, they say that's going to be different. It's going to change. It'll be a while before things are back to the way they were. And I thought about in my lifetime how I am surprised sometimes when I see things that are going on in our country, things that are going on in our world. And I think about when I was growing up and what it was like at Welcome Hill Baptist Church and some of the people that I was around. And if I were to go back to those days and look forward, I would probably tell you that there are things that I'm seeing today I never would have thought that I would have ever seen. I never would have thought that I would have seen some of the things accepted in our society that are accepted, that are absolutely contrary to the Word of God. I never would have thought I would have saw some of those things. I remember back to the little church that I grew up in, that I got saved in, and you go down there today and you drive down that road and you look over to where the church was and the church is gone. There are two big tall houses sitting there. The place out behind the church where we used to have dinner on the ground and have homecoming when everybody would come. A lot of you remember those times. You'd meet and you'd have church. Everybody would bring their food and they'd set it out on the table. And it would be from one end to the other. Kids would be running and playing. People would be standing around congregating. And we would have dinner and we'd go back in for another service after we had dinner on the ground. And we'd have singing, we'd have preaching, and we'd have good old-fashioned foot washing, as some of you might remember. Things have changed. Most of those people, a lot of those people have already gone off to be with the Lord. My parents have both gone to be with the Lord, and just since I've been at Hiram First Baptist Church, there have been a whole list of people go out into eternity to meet the Lord. You know, some things have changed, but I want to stand here before you today, and I want to give you hope this morning that although some things have changed, the most important things still have not changed. And the thing about it, they're not going to change, okay? Proverbs chapter number 25 and verse 25, one verse I want to read this morning, and we're going to have some more scripture I'll try to bring to you, but this is our text verse. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Sometimes people need good news, but I want to tell you this morning, the good news is not changed. The good news is found in the Word of God. And one thing I'll say about this book is not changed. This book that I have that I preach out of is a Nelson Open Bible, King James Version. And I've had this Bible, this particular version was edited and published in 1975. I've got one at home that belonged to my dad. And when he passed away, it was one thing that I told my mother that I wanted that belonged to my dad. I said, I want my dad's Bible. I want the Bible that he preached out of. And here's what I want you to understand this morning, that when I lay this Bible down on the desk, and sometimes I reach up and I get my dad's Bible and I lay it beside it, and I turn to a scripture in Proverbs or a scripture in the book of Matthew or the book of John, when I read out of my Bible, it reads exactly the same way as it reads out of my dad's Bible. And I want you to understand something. When you're leaning on the Word of God, you can open it, you can read it. It has not changed. It is not going to change. And here's why this morning. I'm going to give you this first point. It's because God's character has not changed. The world around us, it may be changing. People are changing, but God is not changing because God does not change. Remember, He's God. And here's something I want you to think about. He's still the same God as He was when He, and you just fill in the blank, when He spoke the worlds into existence, when He created the heavens and the earth, when He divided the light and night from the day, and even when He took and He created man in His own image, He's the same God. He's the same God as He was when Moses went up on the mountain and God gave him the tablets of stone with the law written in it. He's the same God as He was when He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." He's the same God as Jesus when He went up on Calvary's cross and He died for a lost and dying world. He's the same God. He's not changed. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says this, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." And I know I use a lot of these scriptures a lot, but I think people need to hear it because I want you to understand something today. God's not changed. Sometimes churches change. Sometimes even the message that people are presenting has changed. But God's not changed. And when you stand before Him and give an account for the way that we've lived and done in this life, we're going to realize that we're not going to be able to present an argument. Well, I lived in a certain day. I remember one time I was working on a job site, and I had a man come up to me, and it was actually a church that was being built. And I began to have a conversation with a man, and he was a member of that church who had took a leave of absence to work on the church. And he tried to argue with me that because we lived in 1985, now remember that, that's how long ago it was. He said Jesus didn't walk in 1985, and Jesus wouldn't expect me to live according to the things some of them had written in this Bible. I want to tell you what I told him then, and I'll tell you the same thing today. God's not changed. And yes, He does expect you to live according to the things that are written in this book because He's God. And sometimes I remind people when they come and they say things to me, they say, "Well, you believe so and so?" I say, "Yes, I do." And I'll tell you why. Because I didn't write the book. He wrote the book. It's His word. It's not my word. And we don't make God up. He's the one that makes the rules. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says this, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchanging things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Now here's what I want you to understand. His character does not and it cannot change. Recently, someone mentioned to me about the stars, and they say, "You know, the stars don't seem to always be in the same place." I said, "But I want you to understand something. The earth changes because it rotates on its axis and it has seasons, but the stars are always in the same place because God set them in perfect order." It's the same thing by our society today. The earth changes, but God has set everything in perfect order. And if we're going to exist and we're going to survive and we're going to be pleasing to God, we need to realize that. That He's in charge and He doesn't change. You know, God's character does not change. God's word is still the same. Psalms 119 and verse 89 and 90, the scripture says this. It says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and added it." Now, I tell you, I feel like this morning the house is full. I know there's just a few of us here, but I want you to think about something. You know, here I am today. I'm older than I've ever been. My dad was a preacher. He's already gone on to be with the Lord. I've got two boys. I've got two grandsons and one granddaughter. And here's something I want to be able to tell them. That the same God that helped me, the same Word of God that helped me be able to survive and live my life, He's the same God that's going to help you and take care of you. Wouldn't it be a shame today if we had to look at our children and tell them the help that was available to us is not going to be able to be available to them? That the God that helped us is not going to be there to help them? That God changed, His Word changed? But I want to assure you this morning, the world may be changing, but God has not left His people. And if God helped me and God helped my dad and my granddad, He's going to help my sons and He's going to help my grandsons and my granddaughters, and He's going to help you because He can handle the change. People change, but God does not change. You see, God's character hadn't changed, His Word hadn't changed, and His promises have not changed. I remember when I announced to some of the people that I was going to be coming to Hiram First Baptist Church, a man came up to me and he tried to give me a little counsel, and here's what he said. Now, folks, this is just the way people think, and this is just the way people are. He said, now, you need to be careful when you go over there and not be real quick to quit your job. And this is what he said to me. He said, people are fickle. Now, what does that mean? That means that they change frequently, especially as regards to one's loyalties, interests, or affections. And I listened to him and I said, well, I appreciate your concern. But you know, my heart was so heavy and so full, I was ready to follow God anywhere that He had for me to go. Because God had laid the burden on my heart. The burden did not come by man, because mama didn't call me, daddy didn't call me, and the church didn't call me. God called me. And I want you to understand something this morning. God is not fickle. He does not change when the wind blows. You see, the scripture says in 2 Peter, He gives unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And if you want to be blessed, get in God's will and walk with Him. He doesn't change. I want you to understand something this morning. God still cares for you. He has not forgotten His people. He has not forgotten His church. And I want to tell you something. When we do meet here, it's probably going to be like some of those videos I've seen where people are running up and down the aisle giving high fives. We're so glad to be back in the house of God because God's not changed. God knows where you're at. God sees where you're at. And God cares where you're at. You see, God wants a relationship with you. Sometimes we can forget. Sometimes I get so busy that I have so much on my mind, and I tell people this, it's like a hard drive that's just full and it's moving slow. But God don't forget. There's scripture in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15 and 16, and I like this scripture, and it's asking a question. It says, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. You know, I want to just say a couple of things about this verse. A mother, I believe it said, I've heard it said, that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. A mother can hear a whimper in the night and she'll jump up and she'll go to the next room. And one thing I've learned is my kids have getting older. A mother is still a mother even when they're 19, 20, and 29 and 15 years old. She hears them. She's concerned about them. And she'll get up and she'll do things for them that she wouldn't do for herself. But the scripture says it's possible that even that kind of a mother can forget about her children. It's possible. But God said, I won't forget you because I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. And I want you to understand something this morning. The only things in heaven that'll be made by man are the scars that are in the hands of Jesus. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for His children. And when he reaches over to the Father and he speaks to him and he reaches out his hand, there's a mark there that reminds him that he died on a cross for you and I. And he cares for you and he's not going to forget you. And at the perfect and appropriate time, he's going to move on your behalf and on behalf of this world and his children. You know what it says in the latter part of that verse? It says, thy walls are continually before me. Here's what I want you to understand. God knows what your limitations are. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what you can do, what you can't do. He knows what you've done wrong. And what I want you to understand this morning is none of those things keep him from loving you and caring about you any more or any less. And I want to share something else with you this morning. How a man gets saved has not changed. It's still the same as it was. I can remember being in revivals when a preacher would preach and the power of God would be so strong. And I've heard testimony given in this church how people would stand up and say they know they left their fingerprints in the bench. The way a person gets saved is they fall under the preaching of the Word of God and they fall under conviction of the Holy Spirit and God begins to prick their heart and they recognize that they're lost and that they're on their way to hell and they need Jesus Christ because man still needs forgiveness for sins. There's a verse in John chapter 3, verse 3, where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is an archaic term, verily. You don't hear it anymore, but here's what it means. It means truly or certainly or surely. It says, verily, verily, certainly, truly, surely, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of God. You see, the way a man gets saved is the same way that it's always been. You must be under conviction of the Holy Spirit. You must cry out to God for mercy and ask forgiveness. And I've heard it said, the shortest testimony, two words or three words, God, help me. You know when you can get saved and know the Lord? It's when your heart gets in the right position. I heard a testimony of a man said he was riding down the road and he was listening to a preacher on the radio. Under conviction, God has spoke to his heart. He said, when my heart got in the right position and I cried out to God, he said, all I had to do was say, Lord, help me. He said, I felt the Holy Spirit come into the car and God saved me right there. He said, I got to crying so bad I had to pull over on the side of the road. Now, I want to tell you something this morning, church. You're not saved by your emotions, but I want to tell you something. If you get a hold of it, it'll be something that you can feel. Bible says you come to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. See, God's not changed. The blood is still a covering for everything that's brought before it. You see, I don't care what you've done or where you've been. If you bring it before the Lord and you lay it on the altar of God, and that could be in your living room, that can be in your den, that can be in your car, that can be out in your backyard, that can be out in the woods, that can be laying on your deathbed. If God convicts your heart, everything that you bring before the blood of Jesus Christ will be covered. The only thing that won't be covered is what you refuse to bring. You see, because the cross still stands as a symbol of victory and salvation. And something else that hasn't changed is the tomb is still empty. You see, because he lives, as we preached last Sunday, we can live. Because something else that has not changed, and we can see it. Sometimes people ask me questions and they say, well, what do you think about all this going on as it pertains to the return of Christ? I say, one thing's for certain, he's coming. And I'm listening for the sounds and I'm looking for the signs. You see, it hasn't changed. He's coming back, like he said. That hasn't changed. And another thing that hasn't changed is this life is temporal. You know, when I look at myself and I'm looking out this way through these eyes and these trifocals that I wear, long as things are in the right position, I can see pretty good. But I'm looking back this way and I'm looking in the mirror. I realize that things have changed. I realize that most of my life, according to the time that's given unto man, is already gone. I realize that the life that I have, as it begins to come to a close, it is more and more important that we live our lives for the honor and glory of God. We give the time and our talents to the Lord, and we be prepared because we never know when we're going to stand before Him. My wife just shared with me this morning about a friend that she went to school with, that her husband had passed away, someone we used to go to church with. And I looked at their picture and I thought, well, they look younger than us. He looks younger than I do. And it's sobering, and it brings to mind the reality that this life is temporal. But here's what I want you to understand as a Christian this morning, something that hasn't changed is the Lord has prepared a place for us. The scripture is so common and so often used in John chapter 14 where he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, because there will come a time, if the Lord didn't come back for all of us, when I know that I will walk with God. I will be with Him. Someone else will have to decide what they're going to do with all the things that I've left behind. Someone else will have to pick up and do the work. But I'm going to be with the Lord. But I want you to think about that this morning, if you're listening. You see, because one thing I know that has not changed is the Holy Spirit is still drawing people to an altar of repentance. You see, it doesn't matter what you have in this life. It doesn't matter what you're able to accomplish. There's something inside of man that'll never be fully content until you're worshiping God. And there's something inside of a man that'll never be fully at peace until you've made things right for God. Because something that hasn't changed is people still need forgiveness for sins. Question this morning. Are you prepared to meet your God? Are you prepared, and will you see your loved ones again? I know I'll see mine. The song we played this morning, I Choose Christ. I cannot play that song without thinking about my mother and without thinking about Brother Keith Davis. You see, I know I'm going to heaven, and when I get there, I know I'm going to see my dad, my mentor, the greatest man that I never ever knew. I know I'm going to see my mother. I know I'm going to see Brother Keith. I know I'm going to see all those people who signed those ordination papers and those license papers when I was ordained and licensed to preach. I know I'm going to see all those people that I talked about that stood around that homecoming table down behind Welcome Hill Baptist Church. I'm going to see Brother Harley Kimmons. I'm going to see Brother Johnny Camp. I'm going to be able to see the men that I have known that have preached the Word of God that have gone on and left this life. I'm going to see my grandmother. I'm going to see Kendra's grandparents. See, I'm at peace with God. But are you today? You see, if today was your last day on earth, are you prepared to meet your God? See, some things have changed. And if things are different for you, here's what I want you to understand. You moved. God did not move because God does not change. My prayer today is if God spoke to your heart, wherever you're at, whatever's on your heart or mind, whatever you're troubled about, that you just slide down and you just cry out to God. If you're troubled and you're scared, God knows that. If you're burdened, God knows that. If you've got financial difficulty or needs in your life, God knows those. And He wants to comfort you and help you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, all you have to do is get your heart and your mind into position that you accept what He's offered to you. Would you bow with me as we pray? Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for being able to be in Your house this morning. God, we thank You for the Holy Spirit we feel. God, we thank You so much for these that are here with us this morning, Brother Allen and Tracy and my wife, Lord, and Lord, for Brother Chris and Brother Rusty and God, we thank you for our church. God, we're looking forward to the day we can be together here worshiping again. God, we want to do everything, Lord, according to your will, conscious, Lord, to be prepared. But God, we feel like this morning, truly, Lord, as our hearts go out and the feeling that we have that there's somebody listening, God, that needs you. Somebody listening, Lord, this morning that has a burden, somebody that has a heavy heart. And Lord, really, somebody listening that doesn't know you as their Savior. Lord, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd speak to them. God, you'd give them, Lord, what they stand in need of. God, you'd reach out to them, God, and help them if they just cry out to you, Lord. We know that you would hear. We know that you haven't changed. We're so thankful, Lord, when we read these words in your book and we put our fingers along the lines and run down, that, Lord, it reads the same way that it did when I was 12 years old. And Brother Earl Partain preached the word, and I got saved. God, we pray this morning you'd speak to somebody's heart. God, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for tuning in this morning, church. If you've got something you'd like to send to the church, you can send it to our address. You can send it to the P.O. Box. You can go online to Facebook or on our website, and there's something there that you can apply. And we thank you so much for your continued support. If we don't talk to you before, we'll talk to you next Sunday. But if I can be of any help to anybody in the church, would you please call me? I want my wife and I both, and I'm sure Brother Allen and Tracy feel the same way. We want to do anything we can to help you right now during these difficult times. Thank you for tuning in this morning.